Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today the legend and the icon that is Lee Fredrickson. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Lee, great to have you on the show again. There's not many people get asked back a second time, but you are. You've been on the show before, and that's because not only are you a very interesting person, but you have some very interesting insights. So welcome back. For the benefit of people that don't know you, just tell us a bit about your background and your expertise.
Sure. Well, it's good to be back here again. my background is I'm trained as a behavioral psychologist, and that was my first career. But I went into the world of business with Arthur Young at the time, which is now part of Ernst & Young, doing management consulting. So I had my business career, and I was a client of Hinge before I ended up selling my business and getting involved with Hinge.
Now, what fascinates you about the topic of marketing? Because this is a passion of yours, isn't it?
It is. I love marketing. It's one of the few disciplines that combines both research and an art form together to solve a complicated problem. And nowhere is that more in evidence than when you get into the professional services, which is basically the most complicated type of marketing you could probably do.
Why is that?
Well, because you're selling, not only are you selling an intangible expertise, and so there's no way of really telling. You don't have obvious comparisons. It's a complicated thing.
Now, we're talking about accountants today specifically. We're going to talk about a high growth study that you've done. And we've chatted a little bit about this before, but we're going to dive deeper into it today. How are accountants different, if at all, from any other professional services sectors that you look at?
It's a great question. As you said, we do look across professional services center. And one of the things that we have learned is that accountants pretty much year over year tend to be among the slower growing professions. Typically fights with either architecture and engineering or legal as being the slowest growing, and are consistently outgrown by consulting, software, technology. Those kinds of things are outstripping its growth rate.
And I'm going to ask you why that is. Well, I think I know why that is, actually. Accountants have a unique business model. There's recurring fees. It's a nice business to be in, isn't it? They don't need to do too much to make loads of money. So why should they change? Is that part of the problem?
Well, it is part of the problem in some ways, because the compliance stuff, as we know, keeps getting pushed down in terms of the value it's delivering, and it becomes more and more of a commodity all the time. So pretty soon you're going to be competing with a robot, metaphorically and literally. And so the challenge is, how does a profession adapt to be of greater value to their client base as time goes on? Technology does more and more for firms all the time, but they still always have the issue of, where do you interface between the technology and the business decisions, between the people and the organizational structure? So they're going to need guidance for people to do them. And the question is, will that be the accountants, or will it be someone else? Will someone else take away pieces of what they do? Which, of course, is already happening.
That's a really interesting point, because accountants badge themselves as the trusted advisor for businesses. But if that margin or that position is being eked away by robotics, by AI, or by automation, by other professional services people, then they're going to lose that status, aren't they?
It is a danger. In many areas, accountancy remains one of the most valued professions. So it has a lot of things going for it. But if it does not change, if it does not adapt to an evolving marketplace, they're going to find it more and more difficult. And different kinds of organizations are going to take chunks out of them. You know, sales tax or VAT tax compliance is going to be taken over by a piece of software. So what is the role of the advisor there?
Yeah. Now, we can't ignore the times that we're in right now. You've been doing this for a long time. Have you known anything like this before? You've been through recessions and tough times, but this is something completely different, surely.
No, it is unprecedented, certainly in my lifetime. And it's another example of the kinds of shocks that can rock a business community. And when it's so interconnected, these things hit much more rapidly than they have in the past. We were doing an employer branding survey, and we asked them about their organization's response to the pandemic. And two things that jumped out quickly, besides the obvious about communicating and having a plan, it's how quickly and how adaptable adaptable my organization is in terms of figuring this out and coming up with something if we don't have it. Mm-hmm. Some organizations acted very nimbly. They moved quickly to adjust to what was happening, and others are laggards, and I'm afraid they're going to suffer.
The word of the moment is agility, isn't it? And accountants, we've already established, they're a little bit complacent, maybe a little bit arrogant. They're growing more slowly than anyone else. So are we seeing this lack of agility that's really hampering accountants in the high growth study that you've done?
What we're seeing is an evolution of two different models. There's the old model of accounting that still is very much in evidence, that people come to us, it's all locally based, it's all about geography, hand-to-hand referrals, those kinds of things. But we're also seeing firms that are much, much more focused on today's digital world and adapting to how buyers are looking for services and looking for solutions. It used to be that there was not the wide variety of information so widely available online that there was in the past. Mm-hmm. And so people had to go to an accountant to be able to get that kind of information. And in some ways you had the information, other people didn't. Well, that's beginning to change. The information is much more widely available. Before, you would meet somebody, talk them into it. That's not happening anymore. What's happening is people are going online, they're checking out the firm. Oh, they don't look like a good match. Goodbye. They can check out 10 or 12 firms and narrow down to the two or three or four that they want to actually talk to. And the problem is you don't even know that that happened. You know, you don't even see it because they got referred to you or they found you, they checked you out, found you wanting, and they're gone.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And now your study is very hard hitting. I took a quote out of it. It said your clients are going digital and leaving you in the dust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not holding back on this. Accountants particularly are dealing with a technological onslaught, the huge disruption that is going on, and particularly in their marketing, they are being found wanting, aren't they, at a time when they really should be ramping it up and investing.
Yeah, there was one statistic I think that really jumped out at me, Rob, that I think says it. When you look at the level of inbound leads you get from digital, that I think that's a good way, a good indicator of what you're doing. Most accounting firms get somewhere in the neighborhood of less than a third of their leads through digital sources. If you look at the ones that really get at least two-thirds of their leads, we call those the digital disruptors. And if you look across professional services, about a quarter of firms, about 22%, get at least two-thirds of their leads from online sources across professional services. It's less than 10% in accounting. So much more likely to get no leads online and most likely to get the least number, less than a third of their leads online. Wow. And when you talk to a firm and they say, well, I don't think that people are looking for leads because we don't get any leads online. They do not say anything about what they do, how they're going to help you, what kind of clients they're looking for, none of that.
Yeah.
So what's a buyer to do?
Give us a flavor of the kind of professional services sectors that participated in this study, Lee, and tell us a bit about what accountants can learn from what other sectors are doing.
Yes. We look across professional services. There were over 1,000 firms we looked at, and we broke them down into the software and technology, consulting, accounting and finance, architecture, engineering and construction, legal, health-related consulting. So a pretty broad section. Now, what we found is that while accounting firms have pretty much had about 5 years of good growth as a profession as a whole, no problem there. But when you look at how they compare to other firms, almost always they're lagging. And this is such a shame because accounting firms have diversified. So they're offering technology services, software services, consulting. Many firms are offering those kinds of things. So there's no real excuse for them to not grow. The other thing we're seeing is how they're growing. Where we're seeing a lot of dynamic movement is in firms that are specializing in one way or another. They're specializing in helping certain industries or certain kinds of problems or something along those lines. In other words, they're differentiating themselves.
The problem with that, though, Lee, is if you pick the wrong lane, let's say an accounting firm picks a specialism of tourism or travel or leisure and things like that, that's been hit right now, hasn't it, with the COVID-19. And all of a sudden, your niches can get wiped out in an instant because those industries are dead for a time. So is there a case to be made for specializing but diversifying in your specialisms? How does that work?
It's a matter of balance, as most things in life and business are a matter of balance. If you really understand an industry, you learn that you will see these bad things coming in most cases before other people do.
Right.
And you will have more opportunities to adapt to them. And so if you are a firm of enough scale and scope so that you need those, absolutely you can do multiple areas of specialty, especially if they're related. The second thing that people often overlook is even if you get in within a specialty area and you do a good job, you'll be asked to do many other things for that firm. So there's a natural tendency to diversify services and so forth and to better serve a client once you get in there.
Yeah.
That's the thing that a lot of people say, but what they don't realize is a much bigger risk is having no differentiation at all. No reason why anyone, let alone a particular industry, why anyone in particular should work with you. How difficult is that to get new business?
Yeah, it's a very good point. But generally, what you're saying is that the overall growth trend for professional services is going up. Businesses out there need more and more technical advice. They need more consultants. They need more expertise. Accountants have a role to play in that, but they're perhaps not capitalizing on the overall growth trend that other sectors are.
Yeah, I think there's two things that are going up in professional services that are often overlooked. One of them is clients are getting more value from their relationships with professional services firms. So there is value and firms are finding ways to deliver greater levels of value. The other thing is relevance of the services and relevance of what you do. That's really one of the key things to make it. Because you think about it, you don't use a professional services firm because it helps you with your self-image, the way you might choose what you dress or the car you drive. You use professional services because you need them. They need to be relevant to the problems you're working on. Otherwise, you're not going to use them. Mm. And so I think that's what's happening is sometimes accountants are losing the battle of relevance. They're not allowing people to see how they're relevant to solving their current problems.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you put in your report, this is a direct quote, accountants and financial services know less about their audience than they think.
Yes.
Now, is that arrogance? Is that ignorance? Why is that?
Well, part of it is being human. We always think we know more about something than we actually do.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
And Everyone thinks they're above average, right?
Yes. The latest figure I saw is something around pushing 90% of people think they're above average.
Yeah.
So the other thing that happens is if you're not oriented towards marketing and empathy and understanding your clients, I mean, if you're trained in marketing and you understand the value of market research and so forth, you never get the question from someone who's trained in marketing about what's the value of research. But when you get it from someone who doesn't understand, just as a non-accountant might say, well, what's the value of a balance sheet? If you understand what a balance sheet is, you understand it's of great relevance. That's the thing that many accountants don't really see because they've been dealing with tax compliance issues and they haven't seen how their disciplines are relevant. Now, the best ones have.
Yeah, and knowing your audience speaks to relevance, doesn't it? That's your currency. If you don't know them, if you're not researching them, if you're not asking questions, you don't know what they need and how to solve their problem.
Exactly, or how they're thinking of. I'll give you one small example of that, Rob. We were working with one accounting firm that was going after a particular industry niche group, and the thing that that niche group wanted more than anything else was to be able to grow. That was their focus on growth.
Okay.
And when I took that finding back to the accountants, I remember one gentleman said, well, what's that got to do with us? We're accountants. We're not marketers. We're not salespeople. Excuse me?
That's criminal.
Does cash flow not help growth? Does reducing your tax liability not help growth? You start at the top and go down the list. But if you don't see that, if you don't approach that, that we have no relevance to that or understanding what that is, you won't be successful in finding it.
Now, we're going to talk on another podcast about your employer branding research that you've got coming up, which is going to be really exciting. But When you look at the COVID situation and the accounting sector, how have they responded generally? How have they been affected by what's happened?
Well, it's been a range, and it's been a challenge for many firms because there have been a flood of new government regulations that have been impacting tax and regulatory and so on and so forth. So that's caused a lot of folks to be very busy, and they've focused on a lot of client work without necessarily focusing on their internal communication of what they're doing. So that's where some have stumbled. Others have moved very quickly. But what we're noticing is compared to other industries, they tend to be more cautious about doing things that would prepare them for the future. They would plan to how are we going to change to adapt to this new COVID pandemic as long as it's a relevant component here. And that's going to be some time. And so they've been more reluctant to make a decision. Yes, we're going to move ahead. More willing to postpone things and hold off for longer.
You bring up a very good point. It wasn't so long ago that we had a global recession, an economic downturn. We were around at that time.
Yes.
And we were saying at the time, lessons need to be learned here, because if this ever happens again, we need to plan for something like this. Business continuity, contingency plans. Have the accountancy sector been found wanting in being able to adapt to what has happened?
Yeah, one of the biggest complaints you get from people, other than not communicating with me or not having a way to work remotely, which of course the remote work thing has been around for many years and has been an important recruiting thing. And many accountancies have been reluctant to do that. But that was one of the biggest things. After that, what we got into was issues like my organization is not adapting. They don't have a plan. They're not changing quickly enough. That, I think, is where firms have fallen short when they have.
Well, particularly in the area of marketing, because some accounting firms have just shut up shop. They've not put anything out there. Other accounting firms have decided to just dump a load of information out there. Right, if you want this, go to this government website, go here, go there. And there seems to be no strategy about the comms that they're putting out externally. So how can firms adapt more quickly to put better marketing communications out there?
Yeah, the first thing is an understanding of what's happening in the marketplace. If you don't understand how things are changing, and there is a lot of research that's available out there at no cost. We publish a lot of that. Other organizations publish it. So you can get a pretty good feel from where people are. But if you've been traditional marketing and you have no understanding of digital, and all of a sudden all traditional channels are closed to you, that requires that you make a pretty big change in a hurry. And that, I'm afraid, is where some folks are just not making the switch quickly enough.
Well, as an example, you put in your 2020 high growth study, which would have come from a lot of your research last year, how networking and those face-to-face interactions are a key driver for building profile and relationships. But with social distancing, with the lockdown, that game has changed, hasn't it? So you're pivoting in your messages, surely.
Yeah, it has. And what's also happened is behavior. Just one small anecdote. We've seen in our webinars, we used to do regularly once a month. We've now gone to offering them weekly, and our attendance has tripled in each webinar.
Wow.
It's not that there's any shortage of interest in education or learning or dealing with these things, and people are looking for that information. How are we going to move forward? Who better than your accountant to help you understand those things?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen a wide variety of how people have responded to it, from very, very helpful to, as you said, just perfunctory.
Well, your webinars are terrific. You really know your stuff. I subscribe to almost all of them and share them when I can. But accountants would say, well, look, we're not in the webinar business. We are in the helping businesses to survive this. They don't get digital marketing, do they? And that's going to be a big danger for them, because they're going to get left behind and go out of business.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid is going to happen. And they're going to get merged out or retired out or just snuffed out.
Yeah. Now, you say in your report, automation, artificial intelligence are really, really important. I wanted to ask you the question, are they threats or are they opportunities for accountants?
Well, we've all learned that the answer is yes, they are threats and they are opportunities. There are some sectors, obviously, that have not been as devastated as others. So some firms are doing very, very well. Thank you. You don't hear very much about those because, of course, news is not oriented to what's going right. You do hear some stories about that and some where there's been some rapid adapting. But all the COVID thing has really done, I think, is accelerated what was already happened. We've seen this developing year over year. This time with this accelerant, this is changing. You are going to be left behind if you don't start to move quickly to understand this. And it's not just doing a little social, dabbling at a little social media here and there or repurposing something you got from a trade association. It's really a matter of how do you truly help your target clients understand what's happening to them and help them. And the way you do that is you use the channels of communication where they're looking for information.
Now, you put in your research that workflow automation and value pricing were the top two topics for accounting and finance firms who want to learn more and grow in 2020. Let's talk about the pricing for a moment, because accountants, CPAs, they find themselves in positions where they're giving advice, they're doing more advisory stuff than ever. They know that the compliance is being pushed down fee-wise. It's not so relevant, but they don't know how to charge for this. So value pricing becomes really important, doesn't it? They're doing things for nothing. They don't know how to bring up the subject of money. They've got clients that perhaps can't pay or can't pay now. So what advice would you give speaking into that situation?
I think it needs to start with really beginning to understand what the value is you're offering.
Where it comes back to value, right?
Yeah, actually getting the value. We find that there's more firms that they're moving into understanding things like the client journey. That's another thing we found. The high growth firms are more interested in understanding that. What is the client experience like? So things like client experience, client journey, understanding where they're finding value, what is actually valuable. And what you find is that someone may be going looking for value is, I just want to solve this one problem. I got to submit this form. That's all I want. That's where they start. But once they realize, well, behind this form is this decision you've made. And here's another way you could consider that that would actually help your business grow. That is of value. So value comes from the interaction and what you deliver and not necessarily on how the client understands the problem going into it. Mm. Now, you can help yourself dramatically by helping the client understand the problem appropriately with the right context around it. And that's really what content marketing or what the digital marketing allows you to do. It's not just a small compliance matter. This is actually a pretty important strategic decision for your business. And here's why. And then the client understands the value you're delivering.
Yeah.
So that's where it has to start, is helping them understand that.
I can see a couple of problems with what you're saying insofar as the smaller boutique accounting firms won't have a dedicated marketing department. So it will fall on some of those fee earners to do the marketing themselves. And they're not equipped, specialized to do that. Then in the larger firms that do have a marketing function, they're crying out at both of us right now saying, this is exactly what I want to do. I want to put out more content. But they're asking me to create brochures. They're asking us to sponsor events. They're asking us to do this, that, and the other. And I can't sell them the idea that we need to be digitalizing our market and investing more in the marketing function. How are we going to deal with that?
You know, it is an interesting thing because it gets to how do you persuade people to change their behavior? Lord knows there's been a lot of that in the public arena these days. How do you persuade someone?
Well, there's
two or three ways you can do it. Number one is by giving them examples of someone who's done it successfully. You can do it by sharing data and information about it. Or you can do it by helping them react to their own experience, have someone they trust present it. But beyond those kinds of things, I think the thing that will do it is at some point, people will begin to feel the pinch. One of the things that's characteristic of the fastest growing firms is they put a higher value on training and education.
Yeah.
You're going to have to train that fee earner. If they're going to be quoting the fee, you're going to have to train them how to do it, how to understand it. I don't see a way around it.
Well, that's what we do here at the Business Development Academy. We train accountants to win work. They're not used to doing it. They don't like the sales word. They rely too much on the marketing department, if you like, not just to generate leads, but get those leads over the line.
Exactly. Well, go to the BDAcademy.com. I mean, that's the obvious solution because, you know, you're going to have to get to access to that talent one way. So if you don't train it, you need to retain it.
Yeah.
So one way or the other, you're going to have to figure out how to do that. It's just part of doing business.
It comes down to this though, Lee, doesn't it? In turbulent times such as this, it's not a time to go quiet. It's not a time to crank down your investment in marketing and sales. This is the time to double down on the kind of stuff you do. So let me ask you this. Let's say an accounting firm reads your report and they see that the high growth firms are spending 10% or more of their revenue on marketing and that growth stuff. So they come to you, they say, we've got $50,000, $100,000 to spend on marketing. What is the best use of my money? How do you go about putting a strategy together for them to invest that?
It starts with research, understanding their target client group, understanding their competitors, the competitive environment. And if you understand your target client group, what they, what their business challenges are, the relevance you have to those, what are the things that you do that helps address those, when you start to think through that, how can you not have an advantage when you understand that? When you realize that your competitors don't, you have two meetings. One person walks into it and they said, well, what keeps you up at night? Another person walks into it and say, okay, I know that this probably keeps you up at night because this is affecting everybody, but what you really should be concerned about is this. It's even more fundamental than that. And imagine those two interactions and which of those two firms are you going to want to work with?
Yeah. And more than that, if you don't do the research, how do you know what content to put out? How do you know where to pitch it, who to aim it at, what channels to go for? You're almost in a blind situation, aren't you? And you must see that a lot.
That's right. Like the drowning person splashing around in water and they're making a lot of splashes, but it's not very productive.
But that's the self-fulfilling prophecy, because they don't have that intel that you're talking about. They do marketing and marketing then doesn't work. So then the budgets go down because they can't justify the investment.
That's right. We see that a lot. It's dabbling. And you see that in particular when firms delegate their budgets to individual partners and the individual partners spend it on things like sponsorships of a local youth league or a golf tournament or something like that that really has no meaningful market.
We're coming into land now, Lee. Always fascinating talking to you. You call this a high growth study, but it's not growth in itself. This is about profitability, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And one of the interesting things we see is that in most professional services, you see a pattern where the firms that are growing the fastest are also the most profitable.
Yeah.
And that that is over and over and over. However, in accounting, there is another little segment, and that is firms that are not growing at all, the slow growing, but have high levels of profit also. That's they're taking all of the profit out. They're not reinvesting. And they think they don't have a problem because they're profitable. One wonders whether they're going to be around tomorrow.
Well, we've already seen some award-winning accounting firms here in the UK go out of business almost overnight because they are structured wrong. They've not invested in the right things and they're really struggling. So in closing, Lee, what are the high growth accounting firms doing really well that makes them successful in times like this? I'm asking you to condense your report into a few sentences, I guess, which is very difficult, but give us some of the key themes here that accounting firm leaders should be thinking about.
Number one, it's time to go digital. Yeah. Stop frittering away your time. Number two,
that argument's finished now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's done. It's over. The second one is high growth can be highly profitable. Get it out of your head that it's growth versus profit. It has to be both.
Yeah.
The third thing is that the more effort you put in the right places, and the right places be determined by where your clients are looking, the more effort, the better the results. Next, I would say that you have to have the relevant skills to do it correctly. You either have to retain them from outside or you have to train them internally. And then finally, understanding your target market with original research and sharing that research is a tremendous piece of content. So if there is anything that's a magic bullet, it is research, because it can be used in two ways, both to gain insight and as something that people are tremendously interested in.
Yeah. And what benefits will accrue to the accounting firms that really get a handle on what you're saying right here? Because we're in for some testing times. They say that the rest of 2020 is going to be tough. Loans that have been taken out are going to need to be paid back. Tax bills that have been deferred are going to need to be paid. 2021 might even be worse than 2020, not just for accounting firms, but for the clients they serve. So what benefits are there for the firms that get this right?
Survival, growth, profitability. Those are the benefits.
Yeah. And relevance too, I guess.
Well, that comes through relevance, because if you do follow those things, you will be relevant.
Yeah.
You will be adaptable, because as your market changes, you will see it and adapt to it.
Yeah. Lee, tell us what Hinge do. You put some great stuff out there and a lot of it for free. You're such givers, but you're a commercial organization as well, and you help professional firms like accountants. So if one came to you, what kind of things would you offer them?
We specialize in what we call branding and marketing. So we use a research-based approach to help them understand how they should be positioned in the market. We help them develop the tools they need to execute, such as websites and collateral. And then we help them implement those programs with things like ongoing content and evaluating marketing programs, basically an outsourced service. So we're very flexible within a specialty.
Yeah, and you'll be pushing them to go digital. What exactly does going digital mean?
Well, going digital means understanding where your market is and reaching them through digital channels, which is, we know that now about over 70% of the activity is online in the tracks. And of course, during the COVID crisis, it's probably 95% of the activity is online.
Yeah.
So if you're not online, you're really missing out where people are. If you don't have a great website, if you don't have content that is relevant to your audience and explains how you can help them, if you don't have a website that helps them understand what you do and how you can help them, those are the things that are the essential things.
It seems so basic, but it's amazing how so many firms get it wrong, isn't it?
It really is. Well, it's like, you know, how do you succeed in the stock market? Buy low and sell high. Okay, basic, but it's in the execution of it. It's in understanding what that really means and how do you actually implement it.
Yeah. Lee, this has been terrific. If people want to have a conversation with you, learn more about some of the great stuff that Hinge Marketing do, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Hingemarketing.com is the best way, or I'm certainly on Twitter or LinkedIn. Easy to find.
You show no signs of slowing up as well, Lee. It's like you're gaining more and more momentum with what you're doing. These are great times.
I love this stuff. I love this.
Yeah. Well, leave us, would you, Lee, with some wise and encouraging words for the accounting leaders listening, maybe some heads of marketing functions that say, wow, this is great, I need to get on board with this. What do I do first?
Well, I think the first thing you do is understand that there's a need to change. And if you understand there's a need to change, then the question becomes how. And if you go about researching that how to change and you understand it, you will find it. I mean, we see firms every day that make big transitions. So it is possible. People can do it. People are very adaptable if you take off the blinders you put on yourself.
The problem is, though, that change is hard, isn't it? And you get so close to what you do yourself that you don't know how to change. And that's why they need people like you and me, right?
Yes. All change starts with a look in the mirror.
I like it. Well, Lee Fredrickson, that's been world class. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it, Ralph.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.